Thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
Well, you know, there's nothing that more accurately defines followers of Jesus than our love for one another. Really, when you strip everything else away, that is the most important thing. And Jesus said, John 13:34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. That word as means in the same manner. So, how does Jesus love us? And what does that mean? How do we contextualize that into our daily lives? Because there are people that get on our nerves. At least, there are some that get on my nerves. I probably get on some people's nerves. Well, probably not. Don't make that face back there. I'm sure I do. So, what does it mean to obey the great commandment? This is called the great commandment that Jesus gave us. So I just want to make some observations. I think there are things that will resonate because we already know that these are true. The first thing that stands out is that this loving thing is primarily a choice. It has to be a choice because Jesus commanded us to do it. So when he commanded us to do it, he took it out of the realm of the emotions, because you can't command an emotion. You can't make yourself feel a certain way, right? For example, at the count of three, I want everyone to feel really afraid. Okay, one, two, three. Okay, you can't do it. You can't command an emotion. Jesus didn't say, I command you to like one another. Because you can love someone who maybe isn't lovable, someone who is unloving toward you. But we're commanded to do this. It's not optional. It's non-negotiable. We have to love. And sometimes it comes down to a choice. Maybe there's someone that you can think of that you have to choose to love them. You're doing the right thing. You're obeying the great commandment. You're loving as Jesus loves. Another thing, related to loving others, is to not overemphasize things that are not important. And so sometimes you have to agree to disagree over the small stuff. Because in the Bible, you know, there are a lot of loose ends. There are things that are not clear, and then there are things that are really clear. I mean, if God had made everything really clear, this would be 500 times this size. And God has a hard enough time getting you guys to read one this big, and me. So there are things he left out, and when we see him face to face, we're going to understand and we're going to know all things. But in the meantime, there are some things he's made clear because apparently those are the things that are important. You could define those things that are clear as absolutes. The things that are not so clear, or maybe there seem to be conflicting scriptures because of different times and cultures, or just not enough words to really clarify what was being said. You could call those relatives, absolutes and relatives. The things we need to focus on are the absolutes. The other stuff, I don't know that we're ever going to agree 100% on those things. The things that are clear, Jesus is God. He's the only way to the Father. There's no other way. The Bible is his word, written by one author, the Holy Spirit. Even though it was 40 authors over 1,700 years. One author, it's like one book. That's his word. God says, I want you to love one another. That's an absolute. He says, I want you to be holy. I want you to love other people. I want you to be merciful. Those are absolutes. But we're usually not divided over the absolutes, but over the relatives. Things like your choice of clothing, music preference, the food you eat or don't eat, women in ministry, your theological position on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or the end times, or predestination versus man's free will. Things that he didn't make really clear. And when you make something that's a relative into an absolute, it's called legalism. And so, if we're going to truly be the body of Christ, we have to be able to love all of the body of Christ. And those who are not in the body of Christ too. But when it comes to the body of Christ, we've got some strong differences. We just need to agree to disagree. The Ephesians didn't agree, but they had unity. Because in Ephesians 4:3, Paul said, maintain the unity of the Spirit. But in verse 13, he said, until you attain to the unity of the faith. So they didn't have unity of the faith, but they had unity of spirit. We can have unity of spirit. But we're not always going to agree. Disunity doesn't come from disagreement. It comes from pride. My wife and I disagree over some things. On a sunny afternoon, she's thinking, let's take a walk. I'm thinking, maybe I can fit 9 holes of golf in. Sunday afternoon in the fall, I'm thinking, what's the Broncos? She's thinking, the Food Channel. Did you hear me? The Food Channel. So we don't agree, but we still can love each other. Unity is corporate humility. If you can really walk in humility, you can love one another. So maybe there are people you don't agree with in their theology or their priorities. You've got to love them. Another principle that's very important, don't judge too quickly. When Linda and I got married, it was 1979. Rewind 5 months before her brother was getting married. Linda and I had just gotten engaged. So we were at her brother's wedding in San Diego. And after the wedding, her brother Doug handed me the keys to his car and he said, hey, can you run and pick up, I can't remember what it was, and meet us at the reception. So I grabbed the keys, jumped in the car. Linda came with me, except the car said, just married, you know, had cans hanging off the back, make it clanging. And we're driving down Interstate 5 and people are honking at us because obviously we had just gotten married, but we hadn't. You see, appearances can be deceiving. Sometimes we can look at the outward appearance and judge a situation. There are very few things that destroy our love for one another than judging. So, you might not have all the facts. Have you made a decision quickly without having all the facts? A fact is knowledge based on real life occurrences, a piece of information, an event known to have happened, but facts can be misleading. I heard a story of this pastor in California, getting ready for church, rushing because they were a little late, jumped in the car, his wife jumped in with him, and they're on their way to church, and she said, honey, can you zip up the rest of my dress? Because she couldn't get it all the way. And so he just was in a silly mood and he was fooling around and just going up and down and then down and up. And come on, honey, she said, stop it. Okay, so finally he zipped it up. They got to church. After church, he had to stay behind for this women's meeting. And he went home. One of her friends dropped her off about 3 o'clock in the afternoon at her house. She got out of the car. In the driveway is their vehicle up on stilts, and she can see him, his legs sticking out under the vehicle, changing the oil or doing something. And she thinks, okay, I'm going to show him. So she goes up, grabs his zipper, and zips it down up, you know, like that. Walks in the house, and her husband is sitting in the living room reading the newspaper. And she says, "Honey, who is out under the car?" And he said, "Oh, Elder Fred so-and-so came to change the oil." They went outside. Apparently the guy was out cold because he had, you know, you could see the pastor's wife's legs, and then he sat up really quickly and hit his head on something very hard under the car. Sometimes we can judge a situation by appearances. The Bible says, John 7:24, "Do not judge according to appearances." So, hopefully you can see these video clips. A couple of commercials from Ameritrade a few years ago. Don't judge too quickly.
Thank you.
You got to go down. Come on.
He's fixing dinner for his wife. Romantic dinner. Looks like he just killed the cat. Oh, no, that's the same one. There you go. Oh! He drops the brownie.
Look at the cute dog.
Hello. How much are they asking?
Well, that's a lot of money for a deck.
Well, I hate to tell you this, but you're getting robbed. Did you hear me? You're getting robbed.
He's talking on the telephone.
Ow! Stop! Stop!
AmeriQuest, an open-minded, equal opportunity.
Fractured fibula. Given, well, Saturday. So I can be able to go home tomorrow.
Daddy's gonna be so excited.
That killed him.
Okay, so we have to be careful in our relationships with one another not to judge too quickly. Don't judge according to appearances. Francis of Assisi said something about, "Lord, help me to understand more than to be understood." Stephen Covey wrote this: "Most of us listen with the intent to reply, not to understand. We listen while preparing in our minds what we're going to say. We filter everything through our own life experiences, and often we prematurely decide what the other person is trying to say before they actually finish communicating." So one of the principles of loving one another is to seek first to understand, then to be understood. People are different. We have different priorities, different things that are important to us. What's the other person's love language? How do they perceive love? If we're going to love them, what is it that blesses them? Seeking to understand rather than to state our position. Because when we're just stating our thing, sometimes it can actually be something that destroys relationships. So I've got to show you another little video clip. Is that okay? This is especially true in marriage relationships. How many of you are married? Okay, so you got to seek to understand, not to be understood. So this, you know, men often want to fix things. Women just want their husband to listen. Just listen. Don't try and fix it. Okay, how many of you know what I'm talking about? Okay, so it's called "It's Not About the Nail." You seen this before? "It's Not About the Nail."
It's just, there's all this pressure, you know?
And sometimes it feels like it's right up on me. And I can just feel it, like literally feel it in my head. And it's relentless. And I don't know if it's going to stop. I mean, that's the thing that scares me the most, is that I don't know if it's ever going to stop.
You see the nail? Okay.
Yeah. Well, you do have a nail in your head.
It is not about the nail.
Are you sure? Because, I mean, I'll bet if we got that out of there...
Stop trying to fix it.
No, I'm not trying to fix it. I'm just pointing out that maybe the nail is causing...
You always do this. You always try to fix things when what I really need is for you to just listen. No,
see, I don't think that is what you need. I think what you need is to get the nail
out. See, you're not even listening now.
Okay, fine. I will listen. Fine.
It's just... Sometimes it's like... There's this achy... I don't know what it is. And I'm not sleeping very well at all. And all my sweaters are snagged. I mean, all of them.
That sounds really hard.
It is. Thank you. Ow!
Oh, come on! Ow. If you would just...
Don't!
Try to see things my way. Do I have to keep on...
Okay, just a couple more things. If we're going to love one another and really not allow for there to be any division, we've got to communicate, especially when our feelings get hurt. And there's four ways in which we need to communicate. The first way, we need to communicate immediately, or at least as quickly as possible. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:26, don't let the sun go down on your anger. So if you're upset, you can't leave it. Because the Bible says you've got to deal with it. So immediately, communicate gently. Keep your words soft and tender, someone once said, in case you have to eat them. Because you might not have all the facts. I remember one time I was traveling overseas, and I have a pet peeve. Actually, I have a couple of them. But one of them is that we answer our phones on time at YWAM. It doesn't matter that we don't hire people. We have volunteers, but we need to look professional to the public. We need to, you know, do things on time, and our phones need to be answered. And a couple of times, you know, our machine has been left on. People call the middle of the day. It says, our office is open from 9 to 5. And it's right between 9 to 5, and we're not answering our phone. Anyway, that's one of my pet peeves. So with that fact in mind, I'm traveling overseas. I think I was in Australia. I called the base because I needed to talk to someone. And I made sure it was 10:30 in the morning. I get the tape recorder. So... I call again, get the tape recorder, and I'm really upset. So I call one more time, get the tape recorder. Fortunately, I knew the phone that went into the girls' dorm at YWAM, the single ladies' dorm. So I call the phone. Lexi answered the phone. Hello? I'm not sure if I even said hello. I said, Lexi, what kind of a Mickey Mouse operation are we running over there? It's 10:30 in the morning. I know, I've done the math several times. It's 10:30, and how come we're not answering our phone? What is going on? And there was kind of a long silence, and then she said, well, it's Sunday. Well, it was Monday where I was. Keep your words soft and tender in case you have to eat them. So you've got to communicate immediately, gently, privately is the third way you've got to communicate. Matthew 18:15 says, when your brother sins against you, go between you and him alone. So not after you've talked to others, but between you and him. And the last thing is, specifically, be specific about the situation that took place. Specific It's got to be a specific situation that hurt your feelings, or you misunderstood, or you felt like this was wrong. But if you let it build up and you don't communicate, then it's just too general and condemning. And so it's got to be specific. That's the way the Holy Spirit convicts us, right? He convicts us specifically about things. That's the difference between God and the devil. Condemnation is vague. Conviction is specific. Because God's a communicator. If you felt like you've done something wrong and you go to God and he doesn't tell you what it is, it's not God. That feeling is coming either from your own mind condemning you or the devil. Because our God is a communicator. And so we can avoid condemnation in our relationships with each other if we go and we communicate specifically. The other day when this happened, could you clarify this? I found that about half of the time it's a misunderstanding. So I might say, you know, Blake, the other day when you said Australians are all idiots, it hurt my feelings. And Blake might say, oh, no, I said Austrians are all idiots. So like, okay, it makes me feel a lot better. There are no Austrians here, right? Okay. So this is not optional, this loving one another. But it's not easy, and it sort of goes against our human nature, our fallen human nature. But Jesus commanded us to live this way, to truly love one another. Because he said, this is how the world will know that you belong to me. That's the greatest tool of evangelism, is that we would love one another. That's what draws people to him. So the last thing I wrote down this afternoon as I was preparing is express your affection. When you see something in someone, express it with words and actions. Do it first with your words. Practice some positive gossip. Tell others about someone else. Or tell them to their face. We do this thing in YWAM. We call it stand and face the music. But it's not really facing the music, because we'll have someone stand and then we'll just, different ones, we'll speak to them directly. Not telling others, but speak to them directly. Like I could say to Blake, you know, Blake, this is true. You are a man of great integrity. I've always admired your character. It's had a great impact on my life as well. And I love how you teach. It's so clear whenever I've sat under your teaching. And I love your relationship with God. And I just see that you're pursuing him. So I really appreciate that about you, bro. Yeah, so, man, that just strengthens relationships when you speak out the truth. Because that's what praise is. Praise is declaring what is true about someone. We do it toward God by speaking out his character. But we need to do it toward one another too. But not just our words, we need to actually act upon it too and demonstrate our love for one another. Actions speak louder than words. 1 John 3:18. Let us not love with words or speech, but with action and in truth. 1 John 3:18. So I wanted to show you this little clip from this. This actually took place. We had this huge move of God. You know, there's different times when God moves in different ways. And this was a giving night. And one of the speakers, Stefan Hugo from South Africa, you'll hear him on this. He's got a strong South African accent. But he just talked about worshiping God by giving to one another. And how this blesses God's heart. And so people started giving all types of stuff. Someone gave a surfboard away. Someone gave a car to somebody else. And then there's this one girl who was in our school who had come out of a lifestyle of homosexuality. And God was healing her and doing some incredible stuff. And one of our staff did something in blessing her that just rocked her world. I mean, it changed her and propelled her into a different realm here through her loving action. So I just want you to see this. Week 4 of the DTS.
So I want us to prepare our hearts, whatever God spoke to us this afternoon, this is to worship God and to say to Him we love Him and we are thankful for everything He has given us. The way we're going to do tonight is we're going to give in public.
It's one of my fun trips of the year because the guys here at the Borders DTS are a little bit crazy. Normal people would say, I love them. But I think what I really like about the Borders guys is they're not scared to take risks. They're natural risk takers. They are a little bit radical, but then challenge their radicalness into God and see how they can change the world. The Giving Night is a time where we give each one of the students opportunity to worship God, but not by singing or any other means, but by giving something sacrificially to someone else, just to thank God for what they have. Often we just take things for granted. And so what I do, I challenge them and say, why do we have what we have? And then people start to worship God by giving.
I know for some of us, we just the only way we can think of worshiping God is by our singing. But there are many ways to worship Him. And so tonight I'm just teaching you a different way.
There's three things that that are very dear to me. One of them is my surfboard. Matt, I want to bless you with that for your future ministry.
Natalie. This is actually really hard for me because my grandpa gave it to me. So, I don't know if you need it or if you want it, but you can have my car after a while when I'm sober. Because I know you're looking for a way to either stay out here or get home. It's not that great, but it'll get you where you need to go.
I lost it when he gave me the car. I just couldn't really, it was like totally up to the prayer.
I had to remember Natalie telling me, like second week we were here, that she was looking for a car. And I just like totally forgot about it. So, and then all of a sudden like, God was just like, give Natalie your car. And I was like, that's not from God. Like my grandpa gave me that car when I turned 16. Like I trusted God and I gave it to her. And it's just like total peace like came over me after I did that.
Don't say anything, okay? I just don't. Sorry, this is like the hardest thing I've ever done in my entire life. I just really feel that I need to give you my wedding ring.
So one night I was talking to Natalie about stuff and she just kind of started laughing. I was like, what's so funny? And she's like, you know, you're gonna get married. And I was like, what? Like, what are you talking about? And we started kind of talking about some issues I had, like why I couldn't trust guys and how I have a problem with like submitting to men and just because of, you know, like deeper roots from my past. And the last few weeks, God's been so good in showing me His promises for me and getting me ready to, you know, like, go into a relationship and fall in love with a man. Keely gave me this ring, and, I wholeheartedly believe, like, I'm getting married now, and I'm excited for it. Like, I've never been excited. Like, marriage has been one thing all my life that has completely terrified me.
Tonight, I saw such deep giving, and it wasn't the giving, it was worshiping the Father. And did you see what happened when we worship the Father? Something gets broken There was barriers between some of us that was broken tonight. Something happened in your heart tonight that your love for a brother or sister have just grown exponentially, just by worshiping the Father by giving. And I wanna congratulate you guys for your sacrificial giving. And Lord, I thank you that we will be canals for your blessing to flow to nations and to peoples. And I thank you that what we've done here tonight will become a lifestyle.
Yes.
Amen.
Let's stand, shall we? It was your wish for us, as your body, Jesus, that we would truly love one another. Help us, because it is difficult sometimes. I pray for each one of us in those times when we just need to choose to do the right thing, that you would give us the grace to do that, to be followers of Jesus in thought, word, and deed. Thank you that you'll help us to do this. Thank you that this really brings glory to you and blesses your heart. And that's what we want more than anything else. Help us to remember some of these things as we go home tonight. If there's any situation where we have judged, or maybe we have been too quick to do something, maybe we've allowed for a small little issue to become a big issue, maybe we need to communicate with someone. Help us to do the right thing, because it blesses you, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.